Hey, this is Dean Reese, and you're listening to Jesus Didn't Die For This. Today's episode is all about America's God of War. In honor of Memorial Day, Anne and I are going to be discussing the very interesting and convoluted relationship of the American military, Christianity, and violence in general. So hold on to your hats. And I do want to preface this with saying, as someone who has a lot of people in the military in my family, I do respect military members. I am very grateful for all of the sacrifices people have made. And I thank you for your service. We remember those who died in battle, but we also want to highlight part of the systemic issues with the separation of church and state, with the military. And I guess that was sort of like a content trigger warning, and we're about to get into it. So remember, everything we say is out of love. We don't hate anybody in the military. We just hate the system. And so without further ado, here we go.
Welcome to the Jesus Didn't Die For This podcast with your hosts, Annie Cinco and Dean Ruiz. It's just two millennial women facetiously unpacking their generational, religious, and personal trauma. However and wherever you enjoy your podcast, we hope you'll spend some time with us. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and now it's time for the show.
While I started the research for this, I went back to my homeschool upbringing, and without a shadow of a doubt, America was colonized based off of the pursuit of religious freedom. We know that. That is a fact. America was colonized. I'm not going to say America was discovered. There were already people here, and America was colonized because of different groups of people's search for religious freedom. And so it is interesting because there is, in a way, this ingrained backbone of religion in modern day America. And to break that down would also just be breaking down modern day America, like to confront the fact that America doesn't have a really separation of church and state is to confront the fact that America was built, was colonized. And just people don't want to do that. People just want to assume that America as it is today is because some pilgrims came across an ocean, but what else happened? It's very reminiscent of what we have said in previous episodes, that Christianity has weeded itself into every aspect of America. And now that we are in a time where people are ready to confront the history, to confront the past, to truly redefine what America is, this is when Christian nationalists start freaking out and they start wanting to create war and wanting to cause divide because they don't want to have that separation. They want to say they have the separation. They want to pretend that they're not reaping the benefits of this system because they want to remain the victims. They want to stay in these marginalized groups. They want to stay the underdog. And so it's the more I've dug into this, the more it's been a mess. And so this kind of segues into something that Anne and I realized that is a little bit frightening in the sense where sometimes the people that we look up to in our life turn out to be out of control psychopaths. And hi, I'm adding you, John Cooper. Like,
John Cooper enters the chat.
John Cooper fucking enters the chat. Dukes up, motherfucker. Let's go. I took the responsibility of doing some research on him because Anne was like, I can't fucking do this. But how does one begin with this? So John. For those of you who don't know, like I didn't know until literally I started the research. John Cooper has become very outspoken on his faith and his beliefs. And for those of you who grew up on Skillet like I did in the early 2000s, Skillet was very alt. for us, it was cool because they were mainstream. It was cool because they were cool. And they were the kind of band that you'd get in trouble with for your parents for listening to, sort of thing. And then you have to be like, no, they're Christian. So seeing John basically do a complete 180 was very frightening. There was a video in a concert where he was saying that we need to declare war on deconstruction and declare war on the pushback against Christianity. And there were several people who chastised him for it. There was actually Phil Vischer, the founder and creator of VeggieTales, actually did chastise him on his podcast, and he said that he essentially feels that he needs to leave more room for nuance and needs to leave more room for allowing people to explore and kind of define for themselves what's going on with their walk. And so the way I view deconstruction and the way other people view deconstruction is very interesting. So I'm just going to try to give a little bit of background. So David Crowder, Phil Vischer, and Camden's Call, DC Talk, all of these bands have had members come out and say that they support deconstruction. And deconstruction has two levels for people. So the first level is, while remaining in the Christian faith, you basically break down and reassess everything that you have been taught. And I think this is a good thing for people to do because Christianity is taught by humans, and humans will find ways to manipulate anything and everything to further their agenda. I think we have to acknowledge that there was a time where the Bible was used as a means to justify slavery. And so there are certain things that, yes, it is good to deconstruct in that regard. And if you're a person who's still in the Christian faith and you're listening to this podcast, we're not like, oh my God, you're not supposed to be here. But we do hope that you are taking the time to deconstruct things like that, where you're noticing, hey, this really doesn't add up. Like, this is what I've been taught, but it really doesn't add up. And so we welcome you if you're in that level. Anne and I, however, are on the second level. And the second level of deconstruction is where we realize that the whole system is fucked up. We realize that religion is just a construct and a concept used to control and manipulate people. And it is used as a tool for violence and a tool for oppression. And so to John Cooper, his issues is that the first level of deconstructing is allowing people to define what the Bible says and what the Bible means. And I think he needs to calm the fuck down, because his definition of the Bible isn't even right to begin with. You know, I feel that I have a lot of feelings. I just have a lot of feelings, and I just have a lot of feelings. It's like, I don't know where to start. I don't know where to begin.
I know. Something that I just want to say, maybe before we figure out how to delve into this further, is I watched the Brené Brown special on HBO this week about Atlas of the Heart. She goes through, I think it's about 30 different emotions, and talks through them. And she uses a lot of film clips to explain things. I definitely learned a lot. I highly recommend it, regardless of how you feel about Brené Brown. Like, this is a good...
Yeah.
This was a good topic. She introduced a new concept that, well, it was new to me anyway.
Okay.
It's called the concept of a near enemy. So she says that, well, the far enemy of, say, connection is disconnection. The near enemy of connection is control. And that is because control often can look like caring, and control often looks like connection. It looks like you're actually in the best interest of other people, but when in reality, you're just controlling them, you're not having a true connection, and if anything, you're just pushing people further and further away.
For the record, I have never experienced that kind of dynamic in my life. That sounds horrible. Cough, cough, cough.
Never.
Truly sounds like a bad time.
I can't imagine growing up.
Imagine people who have parents like that.
Living 18 years.
Nope, let's think about this for a minute. And there are people out there who have had controlling parents their entire life, and they have just been mind fucked into thinking that control is love. And then who knows? God, I wonder what happened to those people.
Two of them are hosting a podcast.
Two of them are hosting a podcast.
I don't know about the rest of them.
God knows where the rest of them are. Ugh. If you can't laugh, you're going to cry. So.
Yeah. Again, as I said, was unable to actually watch John Cooper's from stage, but I did read several articles from various points of view, Christian and non-Christian, that were looking at this. But then what I also did is I read he retorted on Facebook with about a 1,200-word response about deconstruction.
I did read that.
So I just think, again, it just highlights a lot of what is going on in the church. There is another thing I will link. It's from HubSpot, but they went through about 15 common logical fallacies and examples of how to see them. And the first one is also something that John uses, because he immediately, in his thoughts on deconstruction, why is he so brazen? He immediately sets up a straw man argument, which is where you oversimplify and misrepresent your argument, i.e. set up a straw man, to make it easier to attack or refute. Instead of fully addressing your actual argument, the speaker relies on this fallacy to prevent something superficially similar, but ultimately not equal to the version of your real stance. And in creating this illusion, it just makes it harder for people to refute.
For background, his 1,200 whatever word vomit was essentially comparing deconstruction to a man hitting on his wife in two different scenarios. And if you're just like, wow, that sounds like a reach, it was. It really was. And it didn't make any sense until you read all the way to the end of it. And even then, it was just like, I don't think this is what you're trying to say.
And also, I just want to say, in general, men, especially Christian men, if you read that and you also felt that the first reaction that you should have for somebody touching your wife without her consent is jealousy.
Yes.
Then I think that says a lot about you, and you need to think about that.
Whether you're a man or a woman, because I recently met someone who is a Trump-supporting Christian and had a very interesting dialogue with them. But I feel like this shouldn't have to be said, but I'm going to say it anyway, because I am a big sister and this is what I do. If you see someone touching someone else without consent and your reaction is jealousy, I think you need to realize that you feel like you own that person. Because at the end of the day, it's like, is it her consent that you care about, or is it your consent that you care about? And in John's dissertation, he obviously made it very clear that he does not care whether his wife consents to it or not. He cares about whether he gave consent or not. And I think that is sort of that's sort of like a building block of where everything starts falling apart. He likes to tout things about political correctness and pronouns. And I've went on his YouTube channel and watched some of his horrific podcasts. And it's very apparent that he is trying to appear well-read and cultured, but he is still very lizard brain. What's it called? Primal. That's what it is. Primal.
Yep. The part of the brain which is primitive, non-rational, and self-interested behaviors attributed. So this is your most base response. Like, this is something that you can't outthink and can't control. This is at the very core. This is just your human natural reaction.
Right. And so I think when you, and I'm not a psychologist, I don't fucking know what I'm talking about. I've just watched a lot of documentaries.
This is not health advice.
This is not health advice at all. Please go see a licensed professional. But the point is that when you villainize your most basic human instinct, it creates such a weird paradox. And The only paradox I can even remotely kind of compare it to is the time travel paradox of how time is linear. And so when you try to time travel, you delineate a line, you create loops and you create curves and you create waves and you fuck it up. You just fuck it up because it's not supposed to be that way. So it's the idea of that Christian mentality of constantly denying yourself, of taking up your cross, of like being a martyr. It creates this little bubble in which you feel that because you are able to separate your humanity, it makes you better. And obviously, you know, you can't do that by yourself. So you say, oh, God has made me better. But you are constantly reminding people like, oh, it's just because I have God. If you had God, you also could be better. But that goes into the whole idea. It's like, well, because I have God and because I am better, I am the one who should be writing the rules. I am the one who should be dictating everything. And when you take that to go again, all the way back, when you take that to like pilgrims on coming off of a ship where they're interacting with people and they're like, oh no, wait, we are better. And we can, you know, maybe we were more technologically advanced per se, but like, I mean, it's not sustainable. Obviously it was not sustainable. It is not sustainable. Look at the state of our world right now. That's where that superiority complex came, and you're using God as an excuse to say that I'm better than you, and if you can't get on my level, then I'm just going to walk all over you. And it's interesting because they still, even when they're in a position of power, they still have to be constantly denying themselves. They still have to be constantly sacrificing something. And so they create this situation in their head where they are oppressed, where they are the underdog, where the whole world is out to get them. And it's only because that they have God that they are able to persevere, because they don't want to acknowledge that they've already kicked and killed and bludgeoned themselves to the top. And so they just, and it's this vicious circle that, like, America is a very young country compared to, you know, it's what, like 300 years old, something like that. Hold on, let me do math really quick. 245 from 1776. You know, it's in less than 300 years. So this idea of like, we're this great country that is better than everyone because we are built off of these God principles, it has really shaped and defined our society, our position in the world. It has shaped our government. It has shaped our education system. It has shaped our workforce. It has shaped literally everything under this like name of Jesus. And then as time progressed, these values, these traditions, these mentalities were so ingrained. The Christianity mentalities and values were so ingrained that to question one is to question all of them. And this reminds me of when we went all the way back to our first episode, when I was saying that the idea of having a moral compass aside from a religious guideline was so foreign to me. And it is to deny your inherent humanity, because I mean, even if you're not human, in the animal kingdom, there are groups of animals that will care for one another when they are sick. They will not just leave each other to die. So there are global interspecial values such as care and love and compassion and community, and they're everywhere. And so for a group of people to only associate these inherent human qualities with an organized religion is what makes it so easy to vilify everyone who doesn't agree with you. Because you can look at someone and say, well, they don't believe the religion I do, therefore they don't understand what love is. They don't understand compassion. They don't understand how to be patient. Which obviously is not true, but you don't say it in those words. I know this might be controversial because I'm not saying Johnny Depp is a blameless human being, but his quote from Alice in Wonderland, where he just goes down with a bloody big head, that's the only thing I've been thinking this entire like week and a half. Just down with a bloody big head. Down with it all. Down with it all.
Jesus Didn't Die for This. I'm Annie Cinco.
And I'm Dean Ruiz, and we have a very exciting announcement to make.
We are introducing our Patreon.
Yay!
So stoked about all the light and love that we've received from y'all, and we wanted to set this up as an opportunity to have a little bit more interaction with us and for y'all to support us.
Yeah, so we love doing this, and we are very excited to offer about 5 different levels of support, each with their own unique levels of access, starting from monthly updates to on-air recognition and helping us decide our next podcast topic. You can be as involved in this podcast as you wish.
Yes, and we also will have lots of bonus episodes. We'll have opportunities to purchase our merch at a discount, and we're just really excited to be able to have a little bit more community with y'all. There's a lot more that we can say behind a paywall. Let's just say that.
Yes.
Just a little bit more open and a little bit more laid back. And we're hoping we can just have some more dialogue with y'all. So thank you for supporting us. You can check out our Patreon. We'll have it linked in our episodes.
Link in the bio. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe.
And leave us a review on Apple Podcasts because it really helps us out. And it helps other people like you find us.
Exactly. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. Tell everyone.
Don't tell mom and dad.
Don't tell mom and dad. Tell your friends, tell your enemies, but don't tell your parents.
Yes, church kid rules still apply.
Christian teen rules still apply. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
It just reminded me of that one Bible verse where, please let's all remember, Jesus didn't hate the government because when he was asked, should we pay taxes? He said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Okay? Caesar was a fucking, depending on who you are and how you were taught, Caesar was a piece of shit. I am now realizing everything I've learned about world history needs to be reanalyzed. It needs to be rethought. You know, like, yes, like burning people and playing a violin is really fucked up. Like, we're not going to cut corners here. But the point is that there was an established government that the Jewish people did not agree with and did not like. And they wanted Jesus to rise up and be like, we're going to fucking fight this. We're going to do this. And he was like, nah, bro, I'm not here for that. I'm literally getting drunk with my homies, hanging out with sex workers. Like, make it make sense. And I, as someone who has multiple family members in the military, past, present, and will keep signing up, there is a way in which we have turned being an American. We have made nationalism a default setting. And it's very bizarre. And it's very weird because I didn't know that, like, other countries don't wake up and say the Pledge of Allegiance and shit like that. You know, there are other countries that people don't know their fucking national anthem. And it's like the way we glorify, idolize, and to an extent deitize the concept of the American government as an extension of God, as an extension of the way it should be, is very telling in the sense where, are we forgetting that this country was created as a way to flee oppression? And instead, we just created our own version of oppression.
Yes. So much so. And as we're talking about our personal connections to the military, my ancestors arrived in many different waves to this country. But one of them, he was actually born on a boat that was sailing for America. They were very early colonizers, but one of the documents his father signed, it was in a circle, like a wheel with different spokes. They literally signed it in a circle so that nobody could tell who signed it first. Because if you sign top down, you can tell who's the instigator, who's the first person who corroborated this or is saying. So as a way to protect all the people who were dissenting from the current government, is they did that as a form of protection. And I think it was crazy. They were thinking thinking that they were going to come to this country to not have to do that, to not be in secrecy saying that, all these things. And it just ended up being almost worse in a lot of ways for their descendants.
Yeah. And in my quest of redefining my life and my relation with this plane of existence, I have been delving into ancestral work, in the sense where I would love to connect with the cultures and thoughts of my actual ancestors, like of where I'm from. And so, like, I'll joke around. I dip my toe into brujeria every now and then, because I do know that that is what I come from. I do, you know, mm-hmm. And our ancestors would be equal parts thrilled and disappointed with us.
Yes.
They would be equal parts thrilled and disappointed with us. Like, I'm sure they are looking at us and being like, fuck, you guys are eating well, but shit, you guys have your priorities fucked up. Whenever I'm having a really bad day with capitalism in America, I was like, I should have just been fucking left on an island to eat fruit and die. Like,
it's what my body intended.
It's literally what I was made for. I was made to live on a sandy beach and eat fruit. And this is what I'm doing now. I'm fucking paying rent. I'm fucking paying light bills. I was supposed to live in a straw fucking hut. And this is what I'm doing, you know? This is what we're doing. I don't know anything of early European civilization. Aren't you supposed to just be living on, like, a rolling hill, like, herding sheep or some shit?
My ancient ancestry is almost exactly split between hunter-gatherers and early farmers. So that's all we were doing, just out in the woods with our berries.
Just
herding goats.
Literally fucking existing. Literally fucking existing. Mm-hmm. Like, the biggest thing you did is find out you can make goat cheese. Like, oh, wow, look at that. This is fucking great, you know?
They were literally a part of this ecosystem. And
yes.
This is how they were at the time understanding their world. This is what they were using their lens to. Yes. They had to use it for, like, very different things. So as we've progressed as humans and as we've made all these leaps, I think another thing that ties into this too, like we were just talking about with our education, is also with the Christian military attitude, there is also an anti-science attitude.
Mm. Well, it's also that mentality of, if you take away the mysticism and you take away the fear, okay? And so when you don't have fear, you don't have control. You know, it makes me think of what you said, like, oh, it's thundering. Oh, it's the god of lightning. He's just bowling, or whatever the fuck they used to say. You know, or why is this happening? Well, you know, you upset Athena, and so then this happened. You know, it's so weird how Christianity has come in and cherry picked things from the Anglo-Saxon background that still serves them. Like, Wednesday is Odin's day. Thursday is Thor's day. Friday is Freya's day. But this is okay for some reason. This is okay. We can have comic books about fucking Norse gods. And this is someone who cats are named after Norse gods. So I'm not just picking on Norse people or anything like that. This is constantly in my purview. We have comic books about Norse gods. But you fucking try to put a Mexican in a comic book, and you got everyone coming fucking out of the woodwork being like, I just don't understand. Like, this isn't really relatable to people. And, like, no one understands the story. Like, it's very white. And it's just very, I don't even know anymore, dude. Like, what the fuck? I don't know.
It's just,
just burn it all down.
And that just goes back to, I think, in general, just how disconnected Christians are too from their bodies. Because, again, you are constantly putting yourself through that state of self-denial. And in the hope, I think, to move things forward. But when you actually sit down to think about it, you're just taking it back.
You've conditioned yourself to constantly be in a state of overload and in a state of emotional frazzlement. I don't know what the word would be for that. You constantly keep yourself, like, emotionally fried and overloaded and stimulated. So that way you have all of this energy.
Which is an abuse tactic.
It is an abuse tactic. So you're constantly in this reactive state, and you're constantly on edge, and you're constantly just waiting for the other shoe to drop. And so you naturally have, your body is not supposed to be like that. And so your body gets angry and your body gets aggressive. And so you have all of this like energy and it's channeled as adrenaline and it's channeled as anger. And you just kind of shoot it out wherever the fuck you can get it, you know? And that's why you have the mentality of like parents hitting and abusing their kids is so ingrained in us, where it's just like, I remember we used to get spanked right in the middle of the supermarket, like just like just smacked right over, you know, it was so normal. And now as we're realizing, hey, maybe this isn't the best way to live our lives constantly, now it's like, oh, we can't spank our kids, or like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I remember going through that. I remember I didn't get spanked regularly. I remember my siblings getting spanked regularly. And then my sister, who was, she scarred easily. She bruised easily. It was when she started having marks is when we stopped getting spanked. Because I distinctly remember my mom saying, oh, we can't spank anymore because people are going to say something. Because my sister is a lighter shade than I am. And so her scars, like her body is able to turn red. Mine isn't. And so that was what caused my parents to move away from spanking. It wasn't realizing, oh, shit, I shouldn't fucking smack my kid all the time. You know, it was, oh, look, my daughter's going to have like scars and redness and people are going to see and people are going to call child services on us. Like, it was the threat of people misunderstanding, quote unquote, misunderstanding them, which it isn't a misunderstanding. You shouldn't fucking hit your kids. Like, you shouldn't fucking, like, I am now an auntie, and even things that I used to think were fine, like smacking something out of a kid's hand, I can't bring myself to do that anymore. Unless it's like, oh, they're going to go touch an open flame and you smack their hand away. That's like the, you know, but it's just like, oh, you can't have it. They go and grab a cookie. I'm not going to smack the cookie out of their hands. What the fuck is that going to do? I'm just going to be like, hey, you can't have that. Give that back to me. And if they don't want to give it back to me, I'm like, look, I will take it from you because I know you're not supposed to have it, but I'm not going to hit you. And it's just this. I remember I used to do that. I used to hit my siblings because it's like you just smack your hand. Oh, no, you're not supposed to touch that. Don't do that. And then my mother would get mad at me and she'd be like, don't fucking hit. Well, she wouldn't say fucking, but she'd be like, don't hit my kids. And I'm like, so you can hit us, but we can't hit each other. So what dynamic are you telling me is that I have to accept abuse from certain people, but you're not going to tell me who I have to accept abuse from. You're just going to say, I'm a parent, I know what's best for you. And so I abuse you because I love you, but you can't abuse other people. So it's like, okay, until I love someone, right? Then I can abuse them, right? Or until someone loves me, then it's allowed. And it's... It's really fucked up.
It is super fucked up. You are coming from these childhoods and these backgrounds where violence is not called violence, it's called spanking. It's always just like one or two degrees separated from it, so you don't see the practice of it as what it actually is. Mm-hmm. And then you are objectified for most of your mm-hmm. childhood and brought up as these Christian objects and these soldiers for the Lord and putting on the armor of God. Mm-hmm. And all of this, and I think that plays right into militantism.
Mm-hmm. There is a song that we used to sing in our old church.
Ooh.
They took verses from Exodus and just turned it into a song, and it was literally called The Lord is a Man of War.
Oh, Lord.
The Lord is a Man of War. It's like a verse in Exodus that says the Lord is a man of war, and it would be like the chorus of the song where you would just chant it again and again. And I was thinking about it the other day and I was like, shit, I used to literally just be in church chanting the Lord is a man of war, the Lord is a man of war, but I was clapping and it was like upbeat and it was like hooray, hallelujah, you know. And but I was being told again and again that God is violent. God is okay, the whole concept of Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh is God is my provider. And so it's like, okay, cool. But where does Jehovah Jireh actually occur in the Bible? When does it occur? When Abraham is fucking trying to offer his son as a sacrifice. Oh, look, mm-hmm. Jehovah Jireh, God provided a ram instead of me sacrificing my son. It's like, oh, yes. Thank you, God. You have given me an option to not kill my son. You've given me an animal to kill instead. Has anyone ever thought that maybe God was like, this fuck is really going to do this shit. Like, I should bring a ram in here so that way he doesn't kill his fucking kid. Because that's how I've always seen it. I've always seen it as God like, I don't think you were doing... That's not what I meant. Like, that's not what I meant. That's how I've always interpreted that story. The Bible was used to justify racism for so long. There are people who fought in the Civil War because they felt like the Bible told them to. Like, and so when you have that starting, and when you have that as the basis of your structure, of your country, of your laws, of your rules, of everything, it's going to be racist. It's going to be disproportionate. It's going to be fucked up. And I think we're just sort of at a time now where people have been able to, I mean, 300 years, how many generations do you think that is? Like, it takes a while for these sorts of things to manifest themselves. And it takes a while for us to realize the pattern. So I think 300 years is just right around the time where it's like, oh, yeah, maybe this isn't such a good idea. Because if you think about it, go back to other early settlements and like Europe. And what happened is 300 years of Europe is who was overthrowing whom at that time? What were they fighting against? I think that the reason Christians are like hating on it so much is because they know, oh shit, what happened is going to happen again. And they're just making it a really big fight.
Yeah, they're not going to go down without a fight. And my ancestor that arrived in, I just checked, in the 1600s is my 9th great-grandfather. So 9 generations is...
9.
Yeah, what it took to get me here.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, and that makes sense. It takes a few generations. And so I'm proud of where we are as a country, that we're finally getting to the point where we can separate these things and we can acknowledge these failures. And it's just very frustrating that Christians take it so personally and they take it as like an offense to them, when it's like, it's not an offense to you. It's like you're taking it offensively because it's not an offense to you. If anything, you should be grateful for this. And something that I noticed a lot with Christianity is they do like a lot of straw men thing, but they also do a lot of grand sweeping assumptions. And in these grand sweeping assumptions, you can see the racism, because they will completely ignore and completely invalidate other cultures' histories and other cultures' experiences, because you really want to look me in the eye and tell me that we've never heard of trans people, or we've never heard of non-binary people, or we've never heard of gay people. And it's like, you're literally going to ignore every single fucking civilization. You're going to ignore ancient Rome. You're going to ignore ancient Greece. You're going to ignore the Incas, the Aztecs, the Mayans. You're going to ignore the Australians, Aborigines. You're going to ignore Inuits. You're going to ignore every African civilization. You're going to ignore everything in the Middle East. You're going to ignore everything in the East. You are literally going to ignore everything, because that is not your history. And because, therefore, it is not real. And it ties back into the John Cooper video, where I watched a video where he was basically bashing a children's hospital for teaching kids how to tuck their genitals. He called institutes of higher education satanic and demonic universities. And he said that they are the reason why the American society is falling apart. And so he just very blatantly said he's against education. And it's sort of like what you were saying earlier, where you need to keep people uneducated because you need to keep the mysticism and you need to keep them in fear. And so if you start and one of the things he said was, this was never a thing. And I was like, yes, it was, John. Yes, it was, John. It really, really, truly was. It has always been a thing. There have always been, whether you want to call them cross-dressers or whether you want to call them trans individuals, if you want to call them two-spirit, like every culture has had these people just not yours. And yours also did have it, Jonathan, but you fucking killed them all.
Anything that doesn't fit the Christian narrative is perceived as evil, is perceived as wrong, is perceived as against the agenda. Therefore, they have the religious, holy, whatever reason to kill it. So that's what we have been doing this entire time. And a lot of our shit is still extremely censored. It is still extremely skewed towards this, just the white male gaze, essentially, is what we have been looking through this entire time. So just shut the fuck up already and let us live our life.
I'm like laughing so hard. I'm like dog whistle laughing. No, yes, yes. Everyone just wants to, like, drink water and mind their business. Like, truly, that's all anyone just wants to do.
We are all just extremely complex plants that want to live our life.
Truly. Just let me sit in the sun, drink some water, and listen to the birds. History is told through a white male gaze. The world is looked at through a white male gaze. And the sooner you accept this, the sooner... Let's also be very clear. When we say a white male gaze or the white male gaze, obviously we don't mean every white male gaze. Like, I am married to a man who is half white. Okay, like, you are in a relationship with a white man. We obviously do not, we're not fucking man haters. And even if we were, that's fine. That's valid. That's fair. It is this thing where it's like, they will no longer be in control. And so the thought of them no longer being in control, they associate not being in control with what they've done to people to maintain control. Yes. I just also want to plug, as someone who's in one of those states that would probably make an abortion illegal quite fast or quite soon, if Plan B is something that is without of your price range, there are alternatives on Amazon. I myself have bought some extras to have on deck for myself or anyone that I know who might need an emergency contraceptive. And so there is levonorgestrel, which is basically what is in regular birth control, but it is a intense dose that you can take within 72 hours of unprotected sex, or mistakes happen, things happen. There are obviously things that you have to do research for as far as weight and time. I believe it's always 72 hours. But they have some 1.5 milligram tablets of levonorgestrel on Amazon for $10. So you can get like 3 or 4 or even 5 for the price of one Plan B.
Yes.
Don't hoard this like toilet paper.
It ain't supposed to be used like that.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be used like that. It is not supposed to be used as regular birth control. Please continue practicing safe sex. And remember, this is used for emergencies. But as I said, I bought like 3 and I plan on having them on hand for myself or anyone I know that might be in a situation where they need it. So uteruses unite, uterus owners unite, and make sure you're taking care of yourself and each other. And if you do not have a uterus, feel free to grab some of these for people who you know who have uterus, because we will appreciate it. As a uterus owner, we will appreciate it. I also want people to remember that you should have clear conversations with your doctor about sterilization of any kind, because there are issues that come with that. Do your research and make sure you're in a safe environment in which you can talk about that with a healthcare provider. We mentioned Roe v. Wade a few times, and so I feel like it's important to get that out there.
And also just throwing it out there that as someone who has had an IUD for 8 years, my personal experience has been phenomenal. If your body is able to have a longer term birth control or tolerate something like that, I highly recommend mine. Just it's long term. It's very long term. Hopefully it can outlast an administration or two.
Yes. Yeah. And as someone who I have a hormonal imbalance, and because of my hormonal imbalance, I cannot always use traditional pill birth control without adverse health side effects. I know how scary it fucking is. I know how scary it is. I know how terrifying it is. I barely have a period regularly since I've started having one. My cycles are not consistent in any regard, shape, or form. And so I know how scary it is. I've had the moments where I was like, I'm going to be the next Virgin Mary because I just didn't have a period. And, you know, then I was sexually active and I'm like, shit. So I feel like it's really important to remember that we cannot control what this government is fucking doing, but we can create a community. Because I feel like, in all honesty, at the end of the day, what will really bring down this American Christian government is us going back to small communities and small interactions, but just conveniently with the power of the internet.
We're all in this together, for better or for worse.
You've been listening to Jesus Didn't Die for This. We are so thankful for you to be here and enjoy this really complex episode with us. If you have any thoughts, opinions, we would love to hear from you. You can reach us on Instagram and Twitter at JDDFTpodcast. And you can also email us at JDDFTpodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to follow us on anywhere you find your podcast, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, pretty sure we're everywhere. And please stay tuned to find out more about our Patreon or visit us anywhere you find us online. You can find us pretty much anywhere. We love you guys. Drink water. Mind your business.
Stay safe out there, folks.
Stay safe.
We'll see you next time, everybody. Bye.
Bye.